Oh my gosh.
Put your hands together for new Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Dr. Pepper Blackberry Zero Sugar.
There she is! Woo-hoo! Yeah! It's full Dr. Pepper!
With sweet blackberry flavor!
Dr. Pepper Blackberry, I'm obsessed with your succulent taste. Please marry me!
No! Marry me! Marry me, or I'm gonna freak out!
Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
It's a pepper thing!
Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Welcome back to the Ghost Bunny Podcast. I'm your host, Bridget Marquardt, with a brand new episode for you guys. My guests today are Haley Stack and Megan Mitchell, and they are from the Appalachian Seance Society. And Haley Stack, originally from the Appalachian region, is a co-founder of the Appalachian Seance Society. She enjoys her simple life as an Appalachian witch, leaning into folk practices and helping others connect to other realms and loved ones, crossed as an evidential medium. Haley loves to explore new haunted places and uses her gifts to aid in residential paranormal cases as a paranormal investigator. What started as a one haunted clown doll led to Haley becoming a haunted collector to give haunted objects a safe space to just be. Haley can most often be found amongst her flowers and gardens and the plants of the wild as they share secrets and messages with her. Haley knows her deepest calling is to heal, so whether through her magic, digging in the dirt, or in her mediumship readings, she knows helping others heal and see the magic in themselves is pivotal. Megan Mitchell is originally from South Florida and currently living in the picturesque Virginia Highlands of Appalachia, which strongly influences her eclectic and folk witchcraft practices. She is the co-founder and board member of Appalachian Seance Society. Having had numerous experiences and encounters with unknown phenomena since a young age has led her to continuing to hone her gifts as an intuitive and evidential psychic medium and become involved in the paranormal research. She has practiced and read tarot for over a decade, is attuned to the Kundalini Reiki. She's a death doula and continues to expand her education and gifts. She provides readings and is dedicated to building community among like-minded individuals by fostering connections in a supportive environment. And together, they started the Appalachian Seance Society, which is a fellowship of like-minded individuals bound together by a shared purpose and structured as a membership-based organization. With a dynamic approach, they focus on fostering connection and providing enlightenment in the realms of spiritual and esoteric studies, as well as the exploration of the paranormal. They extend a warm welcome to all, regardless of their level of knowledge, practice, or path, that they might partake in this sacred journey of discovery. They extend to their esteemed community a most unique opportunity in their area, presenting both in-person and virtual courses, as well as divination days, wherein one may hone their craft with various tools of foresight. Moreover, they offer profound opportunities for deeper learning, guided by venerable elders who impart their wisdom and mastery in the sacred arts and their remarkable gifts. And I'm so excited to have them here today. Haley and Megan, thank you so much for doing the show today.
Thank you so much for having us.
it was in unison. I just have to tell you guys and my listeners too that today is the first day that I'm recording with my new Invisalign in. And so it's exciting for me. I've wanted this for a really long time, but if I sound different at all, or if I sound lispy or something, it's the new Invisalign that I'm getting used to.
Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you. Everybody's like, awesome. We don't care, but I just feel like it's going to sound different. So I feel like I have to say something.
I can't even tell.
Oh, good. Thank you. I want to talk, and I always say it wrong, and I'm so sorry. I'm trying to change it because I always grew up thinking it was Appalachian, but now I'm being told that it's better to say Appalachian, and I'm trying so hard to train my brain to do that, and I feel like it's every other time. I mean, no disrespect if I say it wrong. I'm trying, but you guys have the Appalachian Seance Society, and you guys do things a little bit differently when I was researching on your website and everything than most like paranormal investigative teams or anything like that. You guys are actually a membership-based group. And I want to talk about what that is and what it entails a little bit. And then after that, I want to kind of go into why that is, if you don't mind. Yeah, so, but first let's talk about what it is. So it's a membership. So when you pay a nominal fee and you get a membership card and a name tag, which I actually think is really cute and fun.
Yes.
And you get access to member only classes with like discounts and things like that. And then a quarterly online Penny Dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about this.
So the Penny Dreadful, originally back in Victorian times, they were quick stories that would come out, but we've kind of made it our newsletter that we send out. So we incorporate different recipes, rituals, our calendar of events that's going on, different questions within the community that people have, and kind of created a newsletter.
And is it all online or is it an actual physical newsletter that goes out?
Right now it's all online, but we've talked about eventually having a physical copy. So that is hopefully in the works.
I love it. I think that's so much fun. And then this membership also includes, of course, the community that you are a member of, and then invitations to member-only seances. Tell me about some of the speakers and the workshops that you guys offer.
So some of the speakers that we have had in the past have been like our friend Charisse Williams. She is a tarot reader. She came in and taught us how to connect with like earth spirits and like the energies of the weather when you go out and how to read tarot with that. We also have a gravestone cleaning class coming up soon. One of our local Heritage Alliance, they are supplying everything to come and teach us how to properly clean gravestones so we don't destroy them. And we also have like classes on how to like be more intuitive and connect with your personal gifts, because we think everyone's gifted. You just have to know how to tap into your gifts. So yeah, those are some of the things we've been doing.
That is so cool. I like too that it kind of touches on different aspects of the elements, from tarot card readings to seances to clean the gravestones, which is something that I was just talking about recently, that I went home for my grandma's 106th birthday.
Oh, cool.
Crazy. And there's these little tiny, I'm from Northern California. Oh, I'm from an area very close to Elsie.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Who has set us all up here. She's the one that made the introduction, which is so nice of her, but she's more in the like foothills, like Gold Country. And I'm more down in the valley area, but there were these little tiny towns that no longer exist, like little pioneer communities, like Elliott and Liberty and things like that. But what's left are just like these, like a field with a cemetery in them. And some of them are kept really nice and some of them aren't. And I would love to like adopt one of those cemeteries, of course, with the city or whoever, the historical society, whoever owns them, with their help, and like get volunteers together and like host a day, like fixing the tombstones that are broken or cleaning them up or just gardening in general, like clean, like take some of them you can't even find because the weeds are taller than me. And, you know, there's trees that have toppled over, which is kind of cool, but like also should be removed probably. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like there's so much maintenance that can be done. And I know if there's like one or two that's near where I grew up, there's so many all over the place that are in disrepair and need help.
So our friend Gordon actually is even going to teach us on that day, like how to contact or who to contact so you can go clean things like that. So we'll have to get you a copy of that video.
Definitely. Yeah. That's very, very cool. I like that. And it feels like kind of like a way to give back, but yet stay in our community kind of.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is hard to find.
Yes.
It's hard to find ways to do that stay mm-hmm. within. I mean, obviously you can give anywhere, but like with staying within like kind of the paranormal community and the death community type of thing, it's really kind of hard to find ways to give in that area. So I feel like this is one way that's really helpful. Okay. This is something I really wanted to talk about. So I have two quotes from you guys from your website. Haley says that the Appalachian Seance Society was created when you guys couldn't seem to find the community you were looking for. So you and Megan, that you decided together that you would cultivate a safe space for others to learn about the paranormal and spiritualism and lean into your weirdness. We all do, right? Be your authentic self with no judgment and feel real community with no competition. And you hope that other people's find a safe space within that too. And Megan, you have a similar quote too. And I'm just curious if there was ever a time that you felt before you started this, that you felt that there was an unsafe environment or experience that you guys had?
Yeah, I think it's really sad, but throughout a lot of the paranormal community, there's a lot of competition and a lot of spaces where it's not as accepting as I think it should be. I think as humans, we all have weird things that happen to us, and we're all spiritual beings, and everyone deserves a place where they can come together for that. And we really wanted to create that space in paranormal because we noticed that there wasn't a whole bunch of it. And especially in our area, it was just really where we live. I call it the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's really hard to find people that you can connect with. And so that was really important to us, is to build that.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting because I feel like everybody comes into the paranormal for their own reasons. And a lot of times they're very personal and they're very kind of scary to talk about, because if people don't believe in it, or they haven't had an experience, or they want to ignore that whole thing, whether it's for religious reasons or whatever, it makes it very scary to open up about it. And then you kind of feel like a weirdo or an outsider, like, why am I having this and everything? So I feel like that's really cool. And I also think that's what's very, very interesting about females being more involved and more represented and starting their own groups and things like that. Because I feel like we're a little bit more, and this is not a knock to guys. There are lots of guys who are very empathetic and things like that. But I feel like we hone in on that more. That's more something that we're concerned about, mm-hmm. and we want to empathize with. And like for me, for this podcast, like that's one of the first things I want to know about people. Like, what got you into this? Like, what started? Because mm-hmm. there's always something that fuels your passion. You know, it could even be just something as simple as a scary movie, but usually it's something much more profound than that. It's something that happened to them that they can't explain. And I feel like that's so important to know what started everybody's love and passion for this, because it is personal and because it does help other people relate and be like, oh my God, I wasn't crazy. That happened to me too. Oh, somebody else had that. Mm-hmm. And then the more we communicate about all this stuff, the less weird it is and the less paranormal it is and the more normal it becomes.
Exactly.
I was curious though, when you guys said this, I also kind of automatically went to a different spot than how you just explained it. But as female investigators, we kind of put ourselves, and I never really thought about this before, which is good because that means that I've felt pretty safe in the community, but we really do kind of put ourselves in a vulnerable situation, going sometimes out in the middle of nowhere to some abandoned location with like other investigators that we may or may not know so well, thinking that we're all there for a specific purpose, that we want to have an experience or we want to communicate or whatever our purpose is for going to that location. And I think that we don't always have like safety on our mind, maybe safety against like the paranormal, or maybe safety against, you know, a rusty nail or being careful how we walk around or something like that. But I think that we don't always necessarily think about the dangers of just being a female on an investigation with maybe a group of men.
So actually, I laughed at that because unfortunately, I have the knack for getting us in weird situations. I've had Megan pull off the side of a road. We met Archangel Michael one time, some man on the side of the road.
Quote unquote.
And we have just met some interesting people through conversations in this community that have taught us now to have a little bit more of a, not Megan, she's done great with that. I learned it from the wall.
Well, sometimes it's really easy just to get wrapped up and somebody has a good story or like is an interesting person or has like a access to a cool location or something. You're like, yeah, I want to go. I want to do that and everything. And I, like I said, luckily for me, like I've never like gotten there and thought, oh crap, what did I just do? Like I shouldn't be here with these people. So I feel like the community has been pretty safe, but I think it's mm-hmm. something that we should take into consideration. And I also think that that's what's amazing for more women to be involved and represented and everything too. I just feel like it's a, when I read that, I was like, wow, this is such an interesting thing that I feel like I've never really even thought about or talked about on here. And it should be talked about, like everybody, especially females, but everyone needs to be careful who you're surrounding yourself with for energy purposes.
Yes.
And for safety purposes, especially when you're going on somewhere weird for a paranormal investigation and you're like locking yourself in and turning out all the lights and putting yourself in like a weird situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
It's summertime, and that means more warmth, more sunlight, more time to spend outside. Summer is that time where we want to be out and about, enjoying every moment from sunup to sundown. I always love to spend my time sitting by the pool, but we all need like a sidekick who can keep us entertained while we're out there. It's summertime, and that means more warmth, more sunlight, more time to spend outside. Summer is that time where we want to be out and about, enjoying every moment from sunup to sundown. I always love to spend my time sitting by the pool, but we all need like a sidekick who can keep us entertained while we're out there with our favorite music, our podcasts, crystal clear calls, and for me, that's usually with my mom. That sidekick is Everyday Earbuds by Raycon. Raycon's Everyday Earbuds are the perfect summer accessory, whether you're going hard at the gym, enjoying the sun, and taking those work calls outside, or jamming out while barbecuing to your favorite tunes. Enjoy premium audio that goes where you do. Raycon's latest model is better than ever, with a 32-hour battery life and multi-point connectivity that lets you connect to two devices at once. And speaking of battery, with Raycon's quick charge function, just 10 minutes of charging yields 90 minutes of battery. These earbuds also come with active noise cancellation, something difficult to find at such an accessible price point. Raycons start at just half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon's Everyday Earbuds come in a spectrum of vibrant colors to match your summer vibe. I know I already told you guys, but I got the purple ones and they're so cute. And if I'm not using them to talk to my mom out by the pool, then I am definitely jamming out to my favorite 80s or hip hop hits. It's my favorite thing to do while I'm sitting out by the pool. And if you're loving your Raycons, they offer a 30-day happiness guarantee return policy, no questions asked. Go to buyraycon.com/ghostbunny to get 15% off Raycon's best-selling everyday earbuds. Right now, Raycon is offering 15% off their best-selling everyday earbuds only at buyraycon.com/ghostbunny. buyraycon.com/ghostbunny.
Haley, you are an evidential medium. Tell me about that, because I'm so like, there's a lot of mediums and a lot of psychics and everything, but tell everybody who might not know what evidential means, and then tell me about some of the evidence that you've like pulled during a reading.
Yeah. So I remember when I first found out that's what I could do, it was random. I accidentally channeled something on a ghost investigation because all I had watched was Ghost Adventures up until that point in my life, like 5 years ago. What went on a local thing, channeled something, I could tell you what they looked like. It was weird. Started talking to them, learned about my gifts, and just started tapping in. So as an evidential medium, if I ask a spirit to step in and talk, or they have come in, they will give me a piece of evidence that I can convince you that I'm talking to something that maybe I shouldn't know otherwise. So that's usually how that goes for me. I will get something in. So how I connect with spirit is I'm a knower and a feeler. So I will either feel what they went through. They'll allow me to feel their emotions, or I will just know random stuff about them that, again, who knows? So some of my favorites are, I was reading a man and he sat in front of me for a reading. I'd already read his wife. It went really well. When he sat down, his hands were under the table. I truly did not see him. He just sat down and I looked over and was like, okay, here we go. Well, my hands started going numb and like I started shaking it. And I was like, are you okay? Like, do you have anything with your hands? Like, the spirit's trying to tell me something is wrong and maybe you should get some medical attention. He lifts his hand up and there just had been like a deformity. I had no idea. I had not seen it. I looked at Megan. She was sitting beside me going, what do I say about that? Like, that's, I'm embarrassed. I'm mortified. Like, I did not see this. And she just was so kind. She's like, she's going to worry about this all day, but that's what happens right now. So they'll let me like feel things so I can confirm. And some other ones are like, I've read a house where there was a suicide and I kept hearing, no, there's a second shot. There was someone else. There's a second shot. But again, walking through, no one would confirm or deny. And afterwards they kept going, no, it was one. And come to find out it was a double suicide. So they kept trying to say, hey, I'm here. There were two shots. I was the second shot. So
mediumship to me is fascinating in general, but when there's like an evidentiary medium, like I'm just like, that is so, so cool, because I'm like, how do we explain this?
So someone taught me, it's like, at least how I perceive it. And this clicked for me when I was learning is it my thought or is it spirit? So like your intuition is the space before your thoughts come in. So if something runs through your head randomly and there's no triggers, that's probably spirit talking, not just your thought. And you'll know, because once it clicks, you feel it. I'll be like, that wasn't my thought yet. And it was already in there. And I'm like, okay, that's spirit. Say that. Sometimes it will be the weirdest things, like a box of mac and cheese. I literally had a spirit showing me that the other day. And I'm like, I don't want to say that. That's so weird. For that mother, that box of cheese, mac and cheese meant everything.
Wow.
So it just depends on each one. It can be silly, but just I'm learning to say it. Just say it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked about it before, but I know that I get things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a knower too. Cause sometimes and I don't know how to explain it, but I just know certain things and I know it without a doubt. I can't prove it to anybody, but like I'll know something about somebody else. And there's no question in my mind. And it's just like, I know it as fact. Then you're like weird if you're like, well, no, I know they're doing this, or I know they feel this way, or I know they did that because, and it's not even for somebody who's passed. Like it could be, you know, stuff right now happening. And like Holly will text me and be like, what do you think this means? And I'm like, oh, 100%. She was like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, and I just know that.
Yes, that's how knowing works too, because you'll just get something randomly and you'll be like, how, people ask, how did you know that? I don't know. I'm just a vessel for them. I don't know how to say it otherwise, but it is
just a surprise.
It is like, it'll just randomly, I'll text friends randomly. I just got something about you. Is this true? And they'll be like, what the hell? How did you know that?
Yes. Well, I'm not honed in on it. Like every once in a while, I'll be like, what was that? Or like more for me, like say somebody will send me something and be like, oh, what do you think about this? And then I'll just like kind of like have a knowing of like what I think this is or why I think the person did that or whatever. But what you're talking about, like just getting something that's happened to me a few times, but it happened to me not that long ago. And it was something with Holly, but I was just working out and all of a sudden I got this full, I wasn't even thinking about her or like anything about her personal life. And all of a sudden I got this like total download of, and I saw it happen, this whole interaction. And I was like, oh my God, there was no way I could have even pieced this together if I tried to. I had zero knowledge of any of it. And so I texted her and I said, I have the weirdest thing, but, and you're going to probably think I'm crazy, but like, tell me if this is true. And I went on to tell her and she was like losing her mind, because not only was it true what was happening, but I saw the conversation and I saw the weird room it happened in. I saw what they were wearing. I could feel her feelings and his feelings. Like I know what he was feeling. I knew what she was feeling. I know what the conversation was. I could feel how they felt together. Like I felt everything.
So you're connected to her anyway, obviously, like y'all are connected. So I believe when people have connections like that, you'll get even more than like the average Joe, because y'all are so connected. And then it's like your guides are screaming, and it could be also her guides going, hey, like alert, alert, like talk. I'm being told you should listen to yourself more. You can connect more than you even know. You just gotta do what you want.
I think I do believe that I can and I want to. It's just a matter of like practicing that and actually, you know, doing it.
Learning how you perceive your messages will be like the key. Like once that was explained to me, Sarah Limos, we've done one of her classes in it, and she explains like learning your, we're all psychic, like all humans are psychic. So do you perceive in knowing, hearing, seeing, or like smell, feel? There's different senses, but yeah. Anyway, there's another list too. Sorry.
No, but I love
learning
it.
Learning how you get messages, like you can get all of them that way, but you've probably got like two top ones that you'll be like better at. And so learning what those are, and then that's how you can learn to get messages or tricks to like enhance it.
Especially as a knower too, when you're in a state of working out or a state of when you're creating or in your body, it really allows these messages to come through a lot clearer. And the more that I've actually spent time creating and doing things that bring me joy, or just doing like activities and healing things that put me back into my body, I get crazy downloads all the time, especially as like a knower. So yeah, you'll definitely get that.
I don't love working out. No, I'm just kidding. I do it every day. And I don't mind it, but I do feel like I let my, and this is probably why it happened. I do in my head, I will be like, oh, 23 more minutes or whatever I'm thinking, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll just kind of like zone out while I'm like trying to hold this plank or whatever. So I think that that like left me vulnerable. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but like left me open to like receiving a message that I normally wouldn't have. My brain is too active to have been allowing in.
Mm-hmm. You went into a trance, actually. So you put yourself in like a trance-like state, which that's where mediums can start channeling, is when you're in that trance-like state. So if you're continuously like on that walking, like mine will be when I'm driving or gardening, I'll go off and then suddenly it just starts hitting, or the spirits show up and start talking like, we've been trying to get your attention. But it is, you'll go into a trance-like state. So that's another clue for you on your gifts.
Uh-oh, you're driving and you're going into like another realm. Like, wait, how did I get here?
Oops.
That's so funny though. Oh, and Megan, you're working on your evidential medium skills.
Yes. I had no idea all the stuff I was experiencing my entire life was mediumship. I thought the stuff I was experiencing happened to everyone. And then the more I started talking to more people within the community, they were like, nope, that's not everyone has that happen. So.
And what types of things are you doing to try and hone in on those skills?
I do try to meditate every day, really just focusing on pursuing things that are creative, because that really, I have really bad ADHD. So that really puts me in a good meditative state of mind where I can allow more downloads in.
I feel like I love being creative. I love, you know, like whether it's baking or wrapping a mm-hmm. present or decorating for a holiday or anything like that. Like I love doing like a creative, making a prop for a photo shoot. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like I love like putting like my full I feel like that's a place too where I could really probably in that focus, because I get focused on it. Like I'm so, mm-hmm. you know, into it. So I feel like that is a good way. Like you said, finding things that you love and like will help probably bring those things out, because I definitely get in a zone when I'm doing those things.
And I've noticed too, the more that I've been opening up, so I also tattoo for a living. And so I'll sit there and where I'm being creative and just in my artwork, I'll sit there and I'll just get random things from the people I'm working on. And so I'll start kind of like questioning them, not prying, but just like, hey, what's going on with this situation in your life and stuff like that.
Interesting. Has it ever happened where you're like doing a thing at like a drawing a tattoo out or something and thought, oh, you know what I bet this person would really love is like a turtle on here or something like that, like something random. And then you say, what if I added a turtle right here? And they're like, oh my God, yes.
There's been times where I've gotten stuff ready and people just tell me, just kind of do whatever, and I'll bring it to them. And they're like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted that. Or I really connect with this flower or animal or whatever it is.
That's so interesting. And then they have it on them for life. Yes. Like, and it's something that's a meaning to them mm-hmm. that they may not have thought of. That's so cool.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Okay. I always start, like I said earlier, with everybody's first paranormal experience. So Megan, we'll start with you. What was your very first paranormal experience?
My very, very first paranormal experience that I ever had, I don't fully remember it. And so I actually want to go back and do some hypnosis because I'm pretty sure from what I can remember, I was a really young child. I remember seeing someone standing in my closet and just screaming. I did not know who this person was. There was a man standing in my closet. There wasn't anyone there. I don't fully remember all the details of it. I think at that point I got really freaked out and started to kind of shut that down. So I'm starting to work on opening that back up now.
Did you tell your parents and they were like, no, that couldn't happen? Or like, what made you shut down?
I remember I screamed. My parents came running in the room and they were like, nothing is in here. And then it started, of course, I was terrified because I saw someone that everyone is telling me is not there. Yeah. And then because I saw that, people are like, okay, like she's starting to see things. And so it was just a lot of, okay, this isn't normal. So I need to not act that way. I need to not let people know that these things are happening.
Yes. I feel like that was sort of similar to me when I had my first experience as well. What about you, Haley? What was your first experience?
As a kid, I remember hearing things, but never really. I mean, my parents believed in ghosts, but they would just like, ah. But I also grew up in a very religious household as well. So we didn't acknowledge it further than, oh, thought I saw a ghost. That was it. The one I remember clearest was in the house as a teenager. Everyone had left the house for the day and I was still asleep. And all of a sudden I was waking up and I heard someone whisper my name in my ear. And then you could feel the bottom of my bed sit like someone had sat on the bottom by my feet. So I thought, oh, my parents are here still. And I looked down and no one was there. And I just remember it was like, I'm going back to sleep. I'm going to pretend that didn't happen because I'm home alone. I was still terrified of spirits at that time. So I was like, no, thank you. And then my mom one day walked out of my brother's room. The old phrase, looks like you saw a ghost. And I said, what just happened? And she's like, I just saw something weird in the house in your brother's room. I'm going to go on. And I'm like, are we not going to talk about this?
She didn't talk about it?
No. So my family line, my gifts come from her side. And I know she's a very gifted woman, but she will not address it. But it all comes from that family. So she's had weird stuff happen her whole life too. She just doesn't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes people have trouble when they're very religious, justifying the belief in ghosts or the afterlife. And also like thinking that it's a negative thing.
Yes.
Inherently. And I'm just like, no, it's not. And you can have both. Like you can do both.
They think I talk to the devil. I grew up in a very Southern Baptist home. So what I do is talking to demons or the devil to some family members. And some actually don't know because nope, not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Because even I have some family members that are very religious and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I went on a ghost hunt last night. And they're like, oh, I don't believe in that type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, but how do you not believe in that? Like, yes. I don't know. Anyway, the religion thing, it definitely sometimes is a distraction for people to not believe in the paranormal.
Especially in our area of Appalachia. Again, like Megan said, we're in the Bible Belt. Like it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. That must be hard. That must be really hard. Because I mean, I grew up in a family who didn't like even like ever think about ghosts or anything. But then to like also have like a whole community that is sort of like not really interested in talking about it or thinks it's such a negative thing would be really hard.
Personally, I've always lived loud and proud, however my beliefs are. Thankfully, I was given at least a safe space semi for that growing up. So I'm pretty open and tell everyone, like, if you're uncomfortable, I'm not a bad person. So that's not my problem.
Yeah.
I literally had a man recently tell me I was 1/3 of the population born evil. And I started laughing and talking about his son who was spirit was standing right beside him. I'll scare him more.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Would you guys say that first paranormal experience that you each had is what got you interested in the paranormal? Or was there something that happened later that like made you want to do like investigations or like move forward?
I've always had an interest in the paranormal. I can remember like waking up before school and when I was getting ready, I would watch whatever ghost haunted show was on. But because I also grew up in a really religious household and there was a lot of judgment, it wasn't until I really moved out and was more of an adult and on my own that I really started to become more interested and really want to pursue those things.
What about you, Haley?
I grew up watching just haunted stuff on TV and loved Halloween, Halloween family.
So they love Halloween.
Wait, Hocus Pocus was the jam of our house. but I can't do that.
That's so interesting.
Yes. So yeah, I grew up and like I said, I watched Ghost Adventures once in a while. That was like the extent of my knowledge on this. And then I went on a public investigation like 4 or 5 years ago that changed my life. And thankfully they took me under, helped me develop my gifts. And here we are.
Tell me about that investigation. Where was it and what happened?
So I live in the oldest town in Tennessee, Jonesboro, and it was the Chester Inn there. And I was actually channeling one of the other ladies of one of the men that lived there. And I described her and they were like, one of the historians was like, yeah, I can vouch what she's saying. I was just standing there going, I don't know. I look so confused because I had no idea what was going on or how I knew that. And then when he's going, you're right. I'm like, oh. And I had actually used dowsing rods. I was using those at the same time. So that was the first time I'd used like a tool as a conductor too. And so, yeah, it was interesting and connected with them. And when I left, they were like, so have you ever done that? And I was like, what happened? What was that? And they actually asked me, they were like, if you want to talk, let us know. So I went home for 2 weeks. And I processed, talked to my husband. Do you think I'm going to go to hell for this? Like, oh no, oh no. And here we are now. And
yeah,
I love what I do. I get to help people by connecting them with the dead. It's a gift.
When you were there at the Chester House and you were using the dowsing rods, were you just asking yes and no questions with the dowsing rods? Or were you also getting like a download and could like see her or feel her, or hear her? Both?
Download, yeah. I just knew, again, I'll just know. I said, she's got a bun and it's in a certain way and she's wearing this and she's like a mistress. I could tell. And so, yep.
Interesting. Yeah. And then how did you guys become friends? How did you guys meet?
So Haley had actually started doing my hair and then we just got to talking from there and it just kind of snowballed.
Yes.
So you're doing hair and you're like, oh, I was on a ghost hunt this weekend or whatever. And you guys are like, oh, I love that too. I want to do that too. And you guys just started like becoming friends from there.
Yeah, yep. We just became friends. We have went and had readings done that crossed our past lives and just yin and yang. And so we're like, what the heck? We could feel it, but it was crazy getting validation and stuff.
Wait, tell me about this past lives thing. You can't just skip. Oh, just past lives thing. And skip over it. I got to know.
What we've gathered so far, it was somehow tied us back to New Orleans. We did some astral charts and tied us back. We both crossed around New Orleans in France. And we think we were tied in France as twins. And then we think potentially I died in a wall because I was buried alive. And something was going on there like a war. And so then she went on to New Orleans because I've always felt called to New Orleans since I was a kid. I'm obsessed with it. Can't tell you why. I want to be there. And that's where we believe she went after I had passed and went to New Orleans. And my soul's been trying to get back there because that's the last place I knew where she was. So,
and we had multiple mediums bring up like similar stories of this to us. And we were like, there's no way that they all would know this. So,
yeah. Okay. So, how did you guys do it? You did astral charts, you said, instead of like a past life regression or?
Megan knows that. She's the one who taught me about this.
We had a joint reading with an evidential medium that first had kind of told us this. And then what was the one? Was it like a full birth chart reading? Like an astrological birth chart reading that we did? And then there was like something that matched up there, I think. And then there was someone else who had like come up to us randomly. It wasn't even in a reading and had like mentioned this.
Everyone thinks we're sisters or twins when we walk around to different events and like it just makes sense. We don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. But you haven't done like a past life regression.
We're trying to find someone for that. Around here, we can't really find anyone. So that's on our list.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Holly did it. And she said that we were friends in a past life. Or we knew each – I don't know if she said friends. We knew each other in a past life. Yeah. And I need to do it. But I don't know why I feel a little bit scared of it. And I don't even know why. I think it's not even the going back to past lives. But I think it's a little bit of just the – like being hypnotized maybe. Mm-hmm.
So I disassociate a lot when I meditate. That's how I can go get information for like travel and stuff. I get really spooked easily with that. So Megan has always been like, she's my safe person. So I will anchor to her to make sure, because I have done it without before. And I went back to being buried alive. And that fear, trust it, because I was put back in a wall, casket, whatever you want to call it. And I genuinely thought I was there and couldn't get out. I laid in that state of panic for about... It probably wasn't that long, honestly, but like in that time frame, I felt like a long time. And I'm like, if I like beat on this wall, am I going to be able to get out? Well, I wasn't in a wall. I was laying in my bed meditating. And then suddenly a guide was like, no, snap out of it. You're okay. So that's the hard part of those, is you can disassociate and you'll be there.
Yeah.
And it is scary. I mean, not like to defer people from it. It's fun, but it is a lot of energy you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if that's where my hesitation is coming from. Like there's something that I don't know that, but I know that that happened that I might relive or something like that. Cause I don't really know where it's coming from or why I haven't tried to do it sooner. Like I keep saying I want to do it and I keep saying I'm going to, and I really want to see if it lines up with whatever. Holly's keeping hers a secret so that when I do it, like we can try and, you know, see if it matches up. But I don't know. There's something there that I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm a little nervous about this.
That trust your intuition.
Yeah, I've always noticed too, like it will happen at the right time of when it's supposed to happen, and whatever information you're supposed to get from it will fit and be relevant for you like in that time. So it may just not be the time for you to do that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but like when people, I'm just sitting here thinking that like people think, you know, say that things happen for a reason at certain times or whatever. And I always just go back to, no, it's just I haven't like tried. I haven't like tried to make it happen. But maybe there's a reason why I'm doing that, so like subconsciously.
I was going to say it could be like your body's response to not wanting to relive a tragic event from a past. So
now I'm really nervous.
It could not be.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
So what was the first investigation you guys went and did together?
Oh, God. That's a long
time. Is that Tipton Haynes?
I think it was Tipton Haynes.
What is that?
It's one of our local historic sites, and the spirits there are Chatty Cathy's. They love it. And they do a lot of public investigations with the local team I had met there, and just became friends with one of the members who's a historian there. And they were, what, the Haynes family? And then I can't remember.
We had like switched hands at one point. So I think like the Tiptons owned it. And then the Haynes had it for a little, I don't know the full history on the property, but it had been used. There's a cave on the property as well, that had been used back to like indigenous tribes using it. And there's the buffalo path through there, which is really cool. There's been some mediums who have picked up on some of that activity there. And then the property has been used as a law office, as a store. The owners had lived on site. I can't remember if it was used for anything else.
But it's a house or shaped as a house. Like usually it was a house initially.
Yes, there's a house. They also have the quarters. So the kitchen is underneath the house. And so that's where the slaves would cook and then bring it up to the next level. And then there are rooms like upstairs of the house where you can, multiple people have picked up on birthing and death in those rooms upstairs. And actually one of the women, if men go into the woman's bedroom after dark, she will start like yelling at the men to get out. Like one of the guys is like, I can't be in here. I got to get out. She's screaming in my face again. Because in her time, that was not allowed. You weren't married to her. Get out. And so she will stand at the door like yelling, get out.
Wow. See, this is why I love having people from all different areas too, because like I've never heard of this place before and it's really interesting to learn about new locations.
Oh, well then we'll have to tell you about the Yura Shrine here.
Tell me, yes. Tell me.
You'll have to come out now. So that just is how you lead that conversation. The Yura Shrine is somewhere that the Appalachian Seance Society frequents a lot. They are a little local spot that not many people know about. It is a Japanese shrine. I believe Shintoism. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it is a space where spirits who want to interact with humans come and humans who want to interact with spirits come. You walk in, there's a whole coven room to practice. There is like a table, a dragon's table that has a lot of workings into it. There's a cave room. It was a scrying room. It now has one of the most haunted dolls there. It's just a beautiful place of magic where you can practice anything you want. And the shrine is its own entity. And the owners are wonderful people who love and protect the spirits there. That's their priority.
Wow. And where is this located?
It's in Bristol area of Tennessee.
Wow. Okay. I'm surprised that they embraced this and embodied something like that there.
They're just now starting to come out more about it. It's been that's how we found out about it, was through a friend. Like it wasn't something you find. It's like, oh, you have to hear. And we're very fortunate we heard.
And it is a private residence too. Yes. The gatekeeper there does live there as well. So they do have to maintain a little bit of privacy with that too.
Right. What are some other places in that area?
We have the Nickerson Sneed House.
Yes.
Up in Glade Spring, Virginia, which is extremely haunted by Dr. Sneed.
Local witch in Kingsport that's buried there. I actually still want to go out there and investigate the cemetery. But we have a local witch. She was hung, I believe, in 1800s, 1888, at one of our cemeteries. And there's a house that everyone wants to get into but can't around here, called the Rotherwood Mansion. Highly recommend researching it. But the stories that come out of there from people are insane. But the current owner apparently doesn't believe it. She also doesn't live in the main house, though. So I don't know.
Yeah. Why doesn't she live in the main house?
But apparently can't investigate, but the history and what people have been in there have heard. I mean, there's the owner was awful. He died by flies filling his orifices. A black dog jumped out of his casket when he died. He was so mean. I mean, it's like weird stuff, but there are people who verified it that were there.
Wow. When I think of Tennessee, the first thing that comes to mind is the Bell Witch.
Yes. Yes.
Have you guys ever been out there?
We haven't been out there yet. No, it's a little drive. Not too bad, but that's on our list.
Everybody, and I get messages all the time going, you have to come to Tennessee to the Bell Witch or the Bell Cave or the Bell. And I'm like, I've heard, but do you know what is exactly there? I know that there's like a cave. I heard something about like, is it a bridge or like a something that you drive on and you stop at a certain spot and then like your car will move? That they say that in so many different areas, but I guess this is one of the places.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that part of the place actually. Now I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, no, it needs to move up higher on our list.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what's all there. I haven't like, I mean, I know a little bit about it, but I don't feel like I really know what I would be getting into if I went there. Like, is there a house? Is there?
Do you think there's a house you can investigate, which is supposed to be where you can interact with her energy, I believe.
The Bell Witch.
Mm-hmm, yes. Because I think she visited the guy when he was like sick or caused him to be sick in that house, I believe.
Well, that's just what I was going to ask you. Do you know what her story is? Was she really a witch, or was she like a medicine woman, or do we know what the story is?
You know, I read it and I cannot remember specifically, but I always want to know the witch's side because I'm curious why any witch story you hear of a witch going mad, I'm always like, well, yeah, I would have been mad why she was mad too. So,
Right.
Regardless, I'd like to know her version, but it don't think we'll get that from her.
Well, I think that a lot of times it was, especially back then, it was just mistaken. Like they were trying to help. They, you know, knew how, what different herbs and spices and stuff would make you feel better or take care of something or whatever, or maybe freeze you out or whatever, but still, but, you know, make you feel better. And I think that it just got, you know, misunderstood.
So that's actually one of my favorite topics in like Appalachian culture, the different types of practitioners, because you do have witches, and in Appalachian magic, they are the ones who like made deals with the devil. Only the devil, that's who they work with, solid, cool beans. That's why nobody liked them. Then you actually have your Appalachian conjurers. They were the second most feared of all the like magical people after the witches, because you didn't know who they worked for. You didn't know if they worked for the devil or God. It depended on the day. The working, I like the conjurers because I think that's how it should balance. And then you also have like your yarb doctors. They were like your modern herbalists. That's what they did. You also had like wart removers. You had blood stoppers. Like different ones had different methods and they would use verses and do that. But witches in this area were actually considered bad, but we had good workers as like quote unquote good. I don't even like that term, but lighter workers and healers versus a witch.
Yeah. But I wonder, were they really like making deals with the devil? Were they really communicating with the devil? Or is that just what people thought, especially religious people thought?
So there are some incantations, old texts of actual incantations for witches. Who they were, we'll never, again, maybe they probably didn't come out too much, but there were some incantations that have been found to make a deal with the devil.
That's interesting.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapist provides specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect for breakfast. Like buy a sausage burrito and add a sausage McMuffin for a dollar. Get more than you expect with new McValue at McDonald's.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Okay, I need to know about this haunted clown doll.
Oh.
That's the one behind you? Wait, there's two.
So there's different theories from different mediums. Some think they go between the two, the spirit does, but I've always encountered it through this one.
I knew it was going to be the one in red for some reason. I'm like, it's the one in red, but I don't know why.
Yes. He's just like a grandpa spirit. He wanted a job because he was kind of bored. So I told him he can check all the new spirits out, and he just kind of helps protect the house. And he won't tell me why. He said he attached himself to that because he hated that those dolls. It's like a self-punishment, and he's scared what happens to him if he crosses over. But he won't tell me what he did. So
that brings me to a bigger thing. What do you think about people who, investigators or mediums or whatever, that go to haunted places and try and cross people over? What are your thoughts on that?
Situational. If a spirit wants it, why not? If I don't want to be trapped somewhere, then by all means, then help me if I don't know how. But I also think some people try to force it. And I think that is also not okay to do. Again, I believe in free will. And just because your energy isn't trapped in a confined to this flesh sack anymore doesn't mean that you don't get that free will. If you, that he knows if he doesn't want to cross over, I'm not going to make him. He's got a place to chill until I die. Good luck after. But you're chill. I just don't believe in crossing him if they're too scared.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know I some people want to because they're scared and get it out, but energy's energy. And I think some don't want to go yet.
Yeah. And I also feel like maybe some are just, I mean, people say unfinished business and maybe that is what it is. But I just feel like you said, they're just scared. They don't want to, or maybe they just really liked it here or the spot they're in, or maybe they like trying to communicate with us investigators coming, or for whatever reason, they still like it. And I feel like we shouldn't automatically just be thinking everybody needs to cross over.
Yes, I agree. Megan does the death work too. So I was like, she's probably got some good
I think it's completely up to each individual spirit. I think that we should always prioritize the living in any, depending on the situation that we're walking into. But usually you can always meet in the middle with a spirit and educate a family on, you know, this isn't something incredibly scary. You can coexist with each other. We've had multiple people that we know. There was one instance where the children were absolutely terrified. And so after we've kind of discussed with the family, and so they tell the man that lives in their house, hey, you don't need to interact with the kids. You need to leave them alone. If you do your own thing, you can do your own thing and keep to yourself, but you need to leave the kids alone. And since then, they've not really had any issues. So I think that they really, you can live harmoniously with these spirits. I think for a lot of people, it's just being educated on it's not as scary as you think it is. And yes, it's completely up to the spirit on what they choose to do in their journey.
That also reminds me, I was reading here that you are a death doula, and I did not even know that there was such a thing. So I definitely need to know more about this.
Yeah. So being a death doula, it's really a community role of being a death worker. I think that we don't really have a lot of grief support and education on the topic. There's a big disconnect with community when it comes to grief. And so I lost one of my soul pets 6 months ago. And so I really wanted to create the resources that I felt like I needed to give people tools and guidance on navigating their grief, on continuing the relationship once our animals cross over, and just different memorials and practices that we can do to incorporate grief in our life, because it is a big part of our life, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. So yeah, just building that community for people and those resources.
It made me think, I wasn't sure exactly like what you meant about it. So you're talking more about the grief end of it, not the actual dying process.
Yeah. So with being a death worker, there's so many different scopes of practice. But what like I am so passionate about is helping other people through their grief, helping people find those safe spaces where they can do that.
I also lost a soul pet a few years ago. And one of the things that helped me is I wrote her a letter. Mm-hmm. It was 17 pages long.
Yep.
But I just like wrote everything out, and that really helped. And then the other thing, and I was really surprised at how much this helped, but I made her an altar. It was, you know, it was Day of the Dead, and I thought those looked amazing. And it's not my culture, but I learned about it. Like I asked somebody who it is their culture. I asked them what everything means, from the marigolds to like the everything you put in it. And I made her a whole altar. And for some reason, that between the letter and that, those were the two most helpful things that I was able to do for myself.
Yeah. We, when right around when he passed, we had actually set up an ofrenda for Dia de los Muertos and had a candle out. And every time that we would talk to him as if he was still right there, the candle would start to flicker, like his little tail was wagging, and then it would stop. And then as soon as we started talking to him again, like it would start up again. So you really can, especially with building an altar, create that space to be able to continue on a relationship with them.
Yeah, it was very, very healing. And I have, she had like a little carrier, you know, but she used to sleep in it at night. We called it her condo because every night, like she would just go in there to sleep. She didn't have to. She could sleep on the bed with us, but it was like her little safe space. And I keep her ashes in it, and I keep it under the desk here that I'm recording from. And the ashes are in like this little like wooden box, mm-hmm. and it has like one of those latches that has a little hole in it. So it goes over the thing. And then there's like a little lock that goes in it. And I don't have the lock locked or anything like that, but it's just kind of hanging off of there. And we do have cats. But the other day I came in here, or it was actually I woke up and the box, the latch had opened and the box was opened. And her the ashes are still in like a velvet pouch inside mm-hmm. there, but it was wide open. And I'm like, okay, I do have cats. And sometimes their toys get thrown in that the housekeeper will throw like, oh, there's all these toys and, you know, cat toys and along with my dog's favorite toys and stuff like that. So they do go in there and they do pull out their toys and stuff like that. So I can't say for sure that it wasn't one of the cats, but it's never happened before. And what it would take for a cat to be able to do that, like there's multiple yeah. tasks that they have to do, from flipping something open to flipping it up to, you know,
they
don't
definitely
know.
Stay with us and show us signs that they're still with us.
Yeah. And I've talked before too, I've heard their clicking, the little nails yep. on the tile.
That's the one. Yep. That's what my dog, my soul dog, does. She was my familiar. And so I will still call on her for some workings and stuff sometimes. But her, she was interesting because the night before she passed, I was meditating and I saw death visit. And I went and told my husband, I said, I'm terrified, tomorrow's it. And I even wrote it in a journal because I'm like, please be wrong. I have never wanted to be so wrong. I've never seen death. I hadn't seen death before and I have not seen death since. Death visited and the next morning.
What does that look like when you say death visited? What does that mean?
I think that's different for everyone. I do not think it's a one and done. Where I was on my personal journey, I think the way that Spirit knew I would personally get it was I needed to see the stereotypical Grim Reaper. So I was in a deep meditation and it just was a flash of him. It was strange. It was just the dark thing. I saw the skeleton and I literally snapped out of it so fast, ran in there to my husband and said, I just saw death. I hope it means change, not like in tarot, not actual death. And no, I even wrote it down. I'm like, please be wrong in the journal. And the next morning, her gums had turned the color to watch for. And like you said, the nails, sorry, that's how I got down there. And then for days after, I kept hearing her little nails go through the house.
Yeah, it's so sweet. At first, I didn't have any connection, but then I started, little things were happening. I wanted a sign so bad. There was nothing for a while, but eventually I did. And now I feel like, other than the ashes being opened, which I don't even know, like usually when like there's like a something paranormal, you sort of know, like you're mm-hmm. like when I hear the nails, I'm like, oh wait, I know it was her. But this one, I feel a little confused. Like, I don't know that was her showing me a sign. But then I'm like, then what else was it though? What is that?
I would say it was her, but that's my personal.
Yeah. Because like, what else is it? Like, unless the cats did just accidentally open it, like how else did that happen?
Unless she's telling the cats, hey, you need to
stay out of my bag.
Extra. Yeah.
Was she floofy?
Yes, very. Okay. Very. She was a puff. Okay. You guys both do tarot, right?
Yes.
I dabble. Megan's your tarot girly.
Tell me about how you got interested in that and how you were able to learn the cards and everything.
So I actually first picked up a tarot deck at 15 years old and I was terrified. I tried to hide it from my parents at the time because I thought that it was Satan's work and you weren't supposed to have any. And they just kind of like laughed at me and my dad was like, whatever, go on and do your thing with them. And I had always read for myself and close friends. And it wasn't until more recently, within the past couple years, where I've really been delving on my spiritual journey, that I have been able to really connect with the cards. And it just clicked one day where I could never understand the cards. I would always go to the guidebook. It was like a language that just didn't make sense to me. And then one day it just clicked. I still love my guidebooks. I still use them all the time. I have many of them, but I just put it off to the side and pulled the cards and made myself sit there with them and look at the images and the numbers and the suits that were in them and kind of pieced a story together with that. And it just clicked. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. I feel like the best advice that I've gotten on that is to follow your intuition. Like, even though a card might mean something, if you're getting like a feeling from it, like that's more important than like what the definition in the guides say.
And there's so much imagery in each one of the cards. They can mean so many different things. And so like if I'm doing a reading for someone, I'll pull a card and then it's usually whatever just screaming at me in the card. And that's usually the message. And that does change with each card and each person. And
yeah, I was studying because I'm having Charisse Williams on the podcast too. And so I was, you know, doing my research on hers, and there was a lot of talk about tarot and stuff. And I thought, you know what, I have tarot cards and I hardly ever use them. I get in like phases where I'm like using them and then I don't. I was like, I should pull those out and give myself a reading. It was based on one of like her blogs, and she was like doing, oh, this is like your for like Aries, what you should ask for Aries or whatever. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. It was the worst reading. Like everything I felt like was so negative. And I was like, okay, where do I find the positive in this? I can't have a negative reading. I got to find where the positive is in this. And everything, every time I turned another card, I was like, oh, maybe I just need another card. It'll help explain this. And I was like, no, we just got worse.
Tarot is mean sometimes.
Yes. I was like, you know what? This is not a good day to do this. I just like just shuffle them all up and put them away. I was like, no, we're not doing this today. Like, I don't need that kind of negative thought. But that's one of the reasons that I get worried too about like as a psychic reading or tarot or stuff like that. Like if it's not positive or it tells me something negative, that it could possibly then be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas I'm like, oh, I asked about that and it's not going to work, or there's going to be a major block in it or something.
As a reader, I can tell you, and I know people present differently and do things differently. The way I try to tell people is don't take it negative. When you're having a reading done, and if people do it different. I'm not speaking for the collective. I'm speaking self here. When I'm reading someone, I'm not going to give them a negative thing, because I don't think your guides are trying to give you negative. They're trying to give you information to be better and reach your highest potential. Now, is that always a pretty thing? No, usually the negative is where we have to go and do the internal work. Again, that's what the devil card is. Everyone freaks out about it. And like, it just means do the internal work, our shadow work. That's where I think people take it negative. But if you take the reading as this is a way for me to better myself, not condemning me, that's how you look at a reading. That's how a reading should go. It's to help you progress, and you're getting information from your guides that we're helping give you to do that. They're not going to direct you to do something terrible. They're your guides. So again, if it feels negative, usually that's more of crap, I got to work on this myself, and now we got to dig deeper. And then that's usually where, yeah, the readings go, where we can tap into those traumas to start healing.
So. Yeah. And I think too, that's where it becomes, when the better you are at it, the more you can read into the cards and the more intuition that you get from it, and the more you can talk yourself off that ledge.
I've shown her cards before and I'm like, what does this mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, okay, this is not, there's a lot of upside down ones, or reversed, I guess you call them, stuff. And I was like, was it reversed? Maybe it wasn't reversed.
So the way I read reversals, and this is just me personally, I don't see any card as a positive or negative. It's neutral energy. And a reversal for me, I just read it as an imbalance in the energy. It's either in excess or there's not enough of whatever energy or whatever the card is telling you. And so it's just an imbalance instead of it being a negative thing. That's the way I read them.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like that. Tell me about the Reiki.
So
is that how you say it, right? Reiki.
So I got my Reiki attunement from our wonderful teacher, Sarah Lemos. She is phenomenal. And it's just, it's a form of energy work.
So for people who don't know, but I think it's pretty common right now, but like for people that don't know, it's sort of like somebody lays there and you kind of are like feeling their energy when your hands aren't actually on them, but they are going over them. And the way it seems for me is that, and you can correct me after this, if you can sense like the negative energy and like sweep it away and like add to the positive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a process of going through each one of the chakras. So we have seven main chakras, from our base, sacral, solar plexus, our heart, throat, third eye, and then our crown chakra. And so just going through kind of picking up on what's in each chakra, using just like our intuitive abilities, we can kind of, if there's something that's stuck there, we'll kind of pick up on it, and then just clearing that out, and then just taking that good Reiki energy and putting that back into the chakras to fill them back up.
That's so cool. Tell me a little bit about your seances.
Oh, yes. So we host seances. We try to do one or two every quarter, and we do them a little differently. We will have like board members to help create the energy and make sure it's flowing well for anyone who's nervous or new. But we actually encourage our members to speak up as well. They are equally as part of the seance. We believe in encouraging them to tap into their gifts, hear spirit, how they're hearing spirit, and not criticize it, like, because they're finding if they speak up, someone's like, yes, that's mine. So we actually encourage more than just one medium to be delivering messages. There are times like we will speak up, those of us that are doing it, and say, hey, we're getting this right now, blah, blah, blah. But we very much encourage everyone to participate in these.
Do you guys lead the seances?
We do.
Yes.
And do you have a specific ritual that you go through? Do you light herbs or candles, or do you have like a thing that you do?
Personally, I have created just a little mantra that I say before I start, and it's very new, but I learned quickly it really works. And I also have, in one of my hard times, I wasn't connecting well, and I created an incense that calls spirits in. And so I usually try to light that before we start to help everyone.
It always kickstarts the activity. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to help people. It gets the spirits chatty. So it helps encourage that. So I usually try to light that.
Do you guys use any oils or anything for like protection or even opening the third eye?
Yes. I know we both have a few different custom blends that we each use. So usually before we get started on a seance, we'll just kind of sneak outside for a few minutes and just put our feet in the dirt, in the grass, just ground down. And then usually I know a lot of our oils have mugwort in them. Can't think of what else, and just we'll just kind of dab lavender. That on. Yep, lavender is another one, and then just really get grounded before we go back in and then get started.
And how many people do you usually have in a seance?
I think the most we had was like 18 or 19 around.
Oh,
the
wow,
time. That was a big night. We've learned to, we have to break them down and split. Now we've grown faster than we anticipated.
That's great.
I mean, yes, we're very grateful. It's just we learned like it gets better energy and a little bit smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause sometimes I feel like with that many people, it could get like just chaotic and so much happening and so like too much energy.
Yes.
That's such a thing.
When we do that at the shrine, it also gets the spirits there kind of going, and they'll start knocking to, and there's like knocks and responses, and
ooh,
it's crazy.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done table tipping or anything like that?
I've not, but one of our board members does table tipping, actually.
I've only done it once, and well, I should say I've only done it one successful time, and it was pretty fascinating. Again, yeah. I don't know though, like I've talked about this before, I don't know if it's our energy that's doing it or if it's actually spirit energy that's moving it, but it was pretty cool because the table was moving and there was only like barely fingertips on it.
Oh, I love it.
That's so
cool. It was really, really cool. Let me do some roundup questions with you guys, and then I'll let you guys go. Scariest paranormal place you've ever been?
Where was it we just got chased out? Sweet Springs.
Oh, yes. That was, yeah, that was scary.
Wait.
Oh, my gosh.
Now I have to know the story.
I didn't think you could get chased by a ghost. I laughed at everyone who said that. Not laugh. I had questions.
Yeah.
I'm Capricorn. You can be chased by a spirit.
I learned I could run real fast that day.
I learned don't get behind short people.
When you're talking. Tell me what Sweet Springs is.
It's an old sanatorium. I think it was a TB. They had like a TB ward at one point, and there was just a nasty little spirit in there. And we were, half of us were in one room, and the other side, they called in on the radio and they're like, there's a spirit that's coming, blah, blah, blah. And we're all like,
well, because the other team had just gotten jumped in Estes method.
That was it. Yes.
And so they were like, we're done. We're going back to headquarters. Just so you know, this spirit is now headed your direction. And we were kind of locked off in this back chapel area because the main tuberculosis ward we had just encountered a nurse spirit there that was like, please don't go in there. Don't go through there. She didn't want us in that room because that's where they had kept all of the patients at. And then we literally heard a door slam and this oppressive energy just kind of came over our group. And at that point we were back through the ballroom that was the TB ward, apologizing to the nurse and running through the hallway.
Oh my gosh. Okay. When you say that they were doing the Estes method and they got jumped, what does that mean?
So when you're in Estes method, you put on the, you know, you're tapped out completely and just the energy jumped on the person that was all tapped out.
So they felt like a physical thing, like jump on them?
I don't remember that part because we weren't down. Was it physical or just energetic? She was young. She was a teenager.
I can't remember, but she was young and I know it really spooked her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then this male spirit was known to do this with women and kept a lot of the female spirits there. He was very oppressive towards them. Mm. So yeah, he was just kind of, I don't have nice things to say about him.
Yeah.
Investigating, we've learned being a woman when you were speaking of that, even the spirits sometimes they don't want to interact with us because we're women or.
I've literally had a spirit one time. This was at Randolph Infirmary that said, no, I won't talk to you because you're a woman. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we have to remember too, like who we're talking to. They're from another time where things were different. And yeah, that's frustrating.
Yes.
Very frustrating. And so for you guys, you heard the door slam and then it was an energy that you could feel kind of like coming after you.
You could feel it chasing. I can't explain it until you've done it again.
It was just this oppressive. You could just feel he was right there on top of us, just like breathing down our neck. It was just the weirdest.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel that again.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite paranormal tool to use beside yourself? Oh. I know, because everybody's like, myself. And I'm like, I know, but like, what kind of equipment do you like?
Pendulum, if we're talking like old school, because I prefer Victorian methods. If we're talking tech, I do like a spirit box. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to beat a spirit box, I think. And then Charisse taught us how to use tarot with investigating, mm-hmm. and that has become one of my favorite tools for that.
I bet that would be really cool. Yeah. I would try that. Not that I'm good at tarot or anything, but I would try it and see what comes up.
It works. I will send you a video. I tried it at an investigation, like for a local little shop, and the tarot, like I'll send it to you. It was crazy. It works.
That's so cool. Okay. Oh, what do you guys think about like the apps? Like not the ones that add fake ghosts or whatever, but like Necrophonic or like things like that, like as a spirit box.
I'm open to any tool that anyone wants to use. I have a hard time trusting the validity of it with algorithms and it being on our phone and with AI, the way AI is. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more old school with it, but
yeah.
I've spoken with a parapsychologist that I very much respect and take, you know, almost like the Bible, as they say, like very knowledgeable, years underneath the belt, explained it to me in a way like there's word banks. It's not that it can't be true or accurate. And I think it's nice when you have other things validating it. Like that is cool. Mm-hmm. But as a solid evidence, he explained it to me on a science level that I'm like, dang it.
Was it Lloyd?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Lloyd.
I love Lloyd too.
I love Lloyd.
Yeah. For those listening, it's he was recently on the podcast too. It was Lloyd Auerbach, the professor paranormal. He teaches classes at the Rhine and the classes are amazing. Have you taken classes at the Rhine?
No, that's one of my next things I want to do because of he teaches them. Yes.
Yes. Oh God. He's so knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. Where did you meet him?
Gold Country Paracom.
Oh, okay. Oh, he was at that too. I didn't realize.
He was so cool, yes.
That's so great. Okay. What do you think is the best evidence that you've ever captured? Like if somebody said, prove it to me, what would you show them?
So I already knew. we were at a location. It's now been sold and there's new owners. So I don't know if they're going to allow investigations there anymore. But there was a newspaper clipping and photos from a Brownie camera of Pearl Harbor while it was happening. that this, the owner of the property, he found, well, he had a friend who found it in a garage one day, and he said, this was my dad's. I'd like to get it developed. And he said, hold on, I'll figure out a way that we can like save everything that's on there. They got it developed, and it was footage of Pearl Harbor as it was happening. And we got on the spirit box, we have a recording of someone saying, and you can hear the panic in this man's voice saying, get down now, there's a bomber. And it comes, it like gives me chills thinking about it. It comes through the full sentence completely clear. And you can just, you can hear the full panic in his voice.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's such a cool one too, because it's the historic significance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a newspaper clipping hanging beside it. Like there was so much for that. And for it to come through like, Lieutenant, there's a bomber. And like she said, the fear in the voice was what was, you would have thought it was happening right then or something.
And to get a full sentence on the spirit box, yes, like that to right, come through. Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay. Do you guys carry anything to protect yourself?
I intentionally wear black all the time for that purpose.
I always have crystals on me or.
Yeah.
Okay. And then paranormal place that you haven't been yet, but are dying to go to.
Trans-Allegheny. Is that what you were going to say?
That it's between that and Waverly.
Yep. That's another one too.
I would do some shady things to go to both. I'm just kidding.
Yes. Those are both high on my list too.
Yes.
Maybe this summer. Make it
I got invited to Trans-Allegheny next month, but it's while we'll be doing another event. And I was like, ah!
Okay. And so I heard Trans-Allegheny, I didn't even realize this, that it closes during the winter because it's too cold. I didn't even realize that. I was like, wait, why is it closed? Like I was panicking and they're like, oh, because it's cold. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So it'll be back open for the summer. Or next month, actually, because if you got invited to
say yes.
Yeah. Yay. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on and sharing your stories with me. Tell everybody listening how they can follow you on social media, become a member of the Appalachian Seance Society, and all that good stuff.
So on Instagram, my personal Instagram is @SpiritSleuth, and then we have @AppalachianSeanceSociety, and that's on Facebook, Instagram, or AppalachianSeanceSociety.com.
Great.
Yes. And then I'm Haley's Haunts and Oddities on TikTok and Instagram, and then just Haley Stack on Facebook. And yeah, to become a member, you just go to AppalachianSeanceSociety.com. There's a scroll bar. It's like a $5 membership fee. If you want your card mailed 10, sign a code of ethics that just protects you so you don't get outed for being a part of something if you don't want to be. And then we'll join you to the private group for online classes and other events that we have.
Awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Ghost Bunny Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on my spooky adventures, and I look forward to sharing a new ghost story with you each week. Please subscribe to my podcast so you're always the first to know when a new episode is out, and follow me on social media @Ghost Bunny Podcast on Instagram and @Ghost Bunny Podcast on YouTube. Oh, and I'm also trying to do my Patreon. I mean, I like go on these investigations, but like it's hard to get the footage. I'm like, is that really worth a video? But I am working on it, and I love you guys there, and I love hearing all your ghost stories. So we'll see you there. Bye, guys.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? Start your engine. I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.